To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a sunset that seems to have set the world on fire comes to us from Dave Bond Photography, as Dave captured the scene back on February 20th at the Brighton Jetty in Adelaide, South Australia, testifying that other than a little cropping, this photo was how it came out of the, this photo was how it was coming out of the camera, and that although he could wish for sunsets like this every day, he knows that it would make moments like this seem ordinary, which it was not. Dave's comments points to the necessary contrast of the common and the extraordinary to help us appreciate when we are blessed by something special, and how the good times are that much better because of the times of suffering we have known. Speaking of suffering, it's Monday again, and it's back to the grind of another work week, and the forecast for the next few days is threatening to delay our springtime dreams from coming true, as the weather maps I saw yesterday indicate we can expect anywhere from 8 to 14 inches of snow between now and Wednesday in my neck of the woods. So I will fondly remember the relatively good but not great weather we had over the weekend, and the rest and relaxation I was able to enjoy despite losing an hour to springing ahead. But don't let my Monday wake-up call get you down, because I am not feeling down, because I remember harsher winters than this one and harder times and season in my life than the one I find myself in currently. So even though it looks like a little snow may fall and it's back to work, that's okay with me, brother, because God is still in charge, and the peace and joy he has given me is not affected by changes of clocks, calendars, or weather reports. God has done extraordinary work in my life, and the light and love he has poured into me promises to be with me forevermore. So let's rejoice, because God is good, and when we put our faith in Christ, he will be with us and for us, no matter what challenges the workday or the weather may bring. So let's keep walking and talking to God, and draw close to him, even though it's Monday and inclement weather may be headed our way. As we continue with our current series, as we walk into day 17 of the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as a reminder, and as we will say each day of this journey, we take this path to mark the season of Lent and to draw closer to God in anticipation for the celebration of Easter, knowing that if we take this journey of repentance seriously, we will not only see the days and seasons change, the Lord will use it to change us too. You can sign up to get this devotional yourself by going to the Bible Gateway link on the blog. So without further ado, we enter into day 17. As Bonhoeffer writes, cheap grace is the mortal enemy of our church. Our struggle today is for costly grace. Cheap grace means grace as bargain basement goods, cut-rate forgiveness, cut-rate comfort, cut-rate sacraments. Grace is the church's inexhaustible pantry from which it is doled out by careless hands without hesitation or limit. It is grace without a price, without cost. Cheap grace means grace as a doctrine, as principle, as system. It means forgiveness of sins as a general truth. It means God's love as merely a Christian idea of God. Those who affirm it have already had their sins forgiven. The church that teaches this doctrine of grace thereby conveys such grace upon itself. The world finds in this church a cheap cover-up for its sins, for which it shows no remorse, and from which it has even less desire to be free. Cheap grace is thus denial of God's living word, denial of the incarnation of the word of God. Cheap grace means justification of sin, but not of the sinner, because grace alone does everything. Everything can stay in its old ways. Our action is in vain. The world remains world, and we remain sinners, even in the best of lives. Thus, the Christian should live the same way the world does. In all things, the Christian should go along with the world and not venture to live a different life under grace from that under sin. Cheap grace is that which we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is preaching forgiveness without repentance. It is baptism without the discipline of community. It is the Lord's Supper without confession of sin. It is absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without the living incarnate Jesus Christ. End quote. Today they unpack cheap grace. The biblical wisdom that they pair with Bonhoeffer's writings on cheap grace is from Romans 6, 15 through 18. And the Apostle Paul writes, "What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." And so, yeah, it's a good pairing of verses with cheap grace, because, we're not to just enjoy cheap grace and keep on sinning. We're to repent and be slaves of righteousness. So I think they did a wonderful job of pairing Romans 6, 15 through 18 with Bonhoeffer's writings. The questions to ponder from the study, the first one is, why is it that the church so often proclaims and dispenses cheap grace? Well, in Bonhoeffer's days, cheap grace was an earmark of cultural Christianity. The vast majority of the populace in Western civilizations were members of Christian denominations, and grace was dispensed as a matter of course of church tradition, more than a personal decision to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. Everybody's Christian here, we're all forgiven and saved, so there's no call to discipleship, just a call to keep going to the institution that reminds us of what Jesus did that covers all we do. Today, because of the damaged history of cultural Christianity, cheap grace is used to assure any and all of their acceptance with God and to welcome them into the kingdom with no conviction that they need to repent. Churches want to survive or thrive, and cheap grace is a way to pack the seats and keep the lights on. The next question is what happens to the saltiness of disciples in a church that conveys such cheap grace upon itself? The saltiness of a church that conveys grace upon itself is diluted and turns to sugar as Christianity is reduced to a system of general non-judgmental acceptance, forgiveness of continual sin, and sweet sentimentality, as the emphasis is not on purity and the emphasis on purity and holiness is sacrificed on the altar of ignorance and compromise. So we throw out purity and holiness and we welcome everyone who does whatever with no convictions to do anything different other than say I believe in Jesus. That's an apt description of what cheap grace is. I'm well aware of it because that's how I came into Christianity. I was a big sinner, and I heard about the grace of God, and I figured I would keep on sinning. But luckily, the Lord was really behind my conversion and led me to repentance. And thus, I see the evils of cheap grace. The next question is, what does it mean to say that cheap grace is grace without the living incarnate Jesus Christ? Well, the living incarnate Jesus Christ calls us to follow him in holiness and to go and make disciples, teaching others all that he taught to conform us to his image. Cheap grace tells us to come as we are and to stay as we are. They take the forgiveness of Christ and abuse it through continually sinning and cheapen it as they deny a need for discipleship or the transformation to the new life that Christ intended us to, for us to live. Let's see, the next section is the Psalm fragment from Psalm 51, 10, 12, 10 through 12. The psalmist says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new heart, a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit." Yeah, Psalm 51 is a big repentance psalm, and when we come to Christ, we want to be forgiven, but we also want to be, you know, more like Him. We want a clean heart, and we want the new spirit within us to help us to repent of our sins and to be holy as God is holy. The next section of our study is a journal reflection prompt. The reflection prompt, and the first one says, "In your journal, make a list of all the characteristics of cheap grace that Bonhoeffer identifies." Now, that's a lot. That was a lot of text. But basically, what I write is what I've written as a quick summary. And I might have missed some points, but it's all in the text for us to enjoy if we want to go back and review. Bonhoeffer indicates that cheap grace is conveyed on oneself, a systemized general principle. It's without repentance, it's without discipleship, and it's without an intimate relationship with the Lord who would draw you to do those things. Let's see. Like I said, there's much more to what Bonhoeffer had to say, but for time's sake, we're going to keep it to that. The next prompting for our journal is, do you find any of these characteristics in your own life or in the life of your community of faith? If so, reflect on them in your journal. Now, I believe that if we are honest, there are consumers of cheap grace at every church or community of faith, as the knowledge, conviction, and maturity of quote-unquote believers varies widely among the members of the body of Christ. There are many in all churches that are just spectators, as the whole of their relationship with the Lord consists of bored and bothered attendance at weekly worship services. And then there is the sinner saved by grace crowd that either condemn themselves continually and don't repent, or those who continue in sin unfazed, as they believe the lie that grace has given them liberty to sin all the more. And then there are the superstitious attendees who worship with awe and reverence and ritual that they feel will appease an angry God, but who shift gears to secular life when they pass through and over the threshold of the church building. So yeah, God's grace will prove to be amazing, but we should all fear the possibility of some of the quote-unquote church being told that Christ never knew them. As I do a quick edit, sorry, it's going to be a mess. Anyway, the intercession for today, as they ask us to pray, is think of the proclamation and practice of your community of faith, and pray that they would be free of cheap grace. So what do we do when they ask us to pray? Well, we pray. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I pray for my church and for the whole of Christendom, and that they would be convicted by the Holy Spirit to worship you in spirit and in truth, by having a heart to seek your presence and your wisdom that is found in the Word of God. I pray for you to call us all to repentance and to discipleship and to walk in the ways and good works that you would have us do. Let cheap grace be abandoned for the knowledge and love of the costly grace that Christ paid for his life on, paid for with his life on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And finally, the prayer for today from the study is, Lord, you love me with an everlasting love. Deliver me from cheap grace that I may respond to your love with my whole life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, that's the study for day 17. I invite you to go to mtforchrist.org to check out the text, because it is a lot of reading today that you might not have gotten from the podcast. And Bonhoeffer's work certainly, in my opinion, deserves to be studied, as he had a real heart for discipleship and an understanding of it. That was demonstrated by his life and death. As a Christian martyr of the 20th century. Today, we also invite you to go to mtforchrist.org to go to, to check out, as we always share, insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk, to check out A.W. Pink's Sovereignty of God as we continue sharing from Chapter 9 of his book. That is, the current chapter is on God's sovereignty and prayer. How do those two things work? It's a sort of a long section, basically a long chapter, and so we're sharing from the next few paragraphs from that chapter, as we'll continue until we get through the entire book. So if you want to see what A.W. Pink has to say about prayer and the sovereignty of God, you can go to mtforchrist.org and check out that resource at the end of today's blog post. We also invite you to check out our discipleship teachings, as I'm blessed that other people are reaching out asking for the materials for the classes. My prayer that the classes I put out there for Victory Over the Darkness, the Bondage Breaker, and Freedom in Christ will be used by the Lord to bring people to a better knowledge of their faith and who they are in Christ, and to experience their freedom in Christ. So if you want to check those out, they're on our podcast and the YouTube channel, both with the same name, MT4Christ247. So, and if you wanted the printed materials, the Word docs that I handed out for the classes, I can email those to you if you contact me at MTforChrist247@gmail.com. Other than that, we also obviously recommend the study of God's Word. And yesterday we did a study with Arthur and Susanna Sincotti that Arthur created, called Navigating Humility. And so if you want to hear our discussion about humility and how to navigate through that as Christians, and what the Word of God says in regards to that principle, our podcast and our YouTube channel has a study uploaded to it now. It's under Bible Study with the Sincottis. And all of our previous studies are out there as well. So we invite you to check those out. Well, it's Monday. Some of us have to work. I know I do. So I want to pray and get to it. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for so much for all that you've done in our lives, that we can rejoice even on a Monday morning with snow on the horizon, because we know that your love endures forever, and that you lead us into good things, and you have a meaning and purpose for our lives that we can find when we decide to walk and talk with you every day. Lord, we just pray for anyone who's listening or reading this message, that they would be blessed, that you'd come alongside them in their prayer request and their walk. Lord, all we want to do is represent you as we go about this earth and, speak of your love and your grace, and the hope that it'll save some, and that they won't just have an immature view of what that is, some cheap grace, but they'll understand the cost that was paid to save us, and the implication that we are to serve and follow you as we make you the Lord of our lives. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.